Bible says it had been 40 days since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible also says that Jesus appeared to over 500 people. But now it was time. Now it was time to return to His Father in heaven. For now, this day would be the last day of Jesus on this earth. You see, the events of the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven are nothing short, at least to me, of absolute being incredible. Once Cleopas, you remember last week, and his friend, his companion, on the way home to Emmaus. And in fact, when they found out it was Jesus, they headed back that 7-mile journey, went back to Jerusalem, and they went to see the 11. And all those who had gathered with them. Because what they were doing, folks, they were telling each other about who had seen Jesus. And the Bible records, they were recording the very fact about Simon Peter and what Peter had said. You see, there were more people present that day than simply the 11 when Cleopas and his friend went back. Matter of fact, Scripture teaches us that perhaps even as many as up to 500 were gathered even in that spot. How they got them in there, don't know. But Jesus arranged for the 11 apostles, the 11 original apostles, to gather the disciples of Jesus together. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6, those that Jesus appeared to, those of His followers, the Bible says, then He appeared to over 500 brothers at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. But the interesting about it with these men, they still did not understand or, in fact, believe the resurrection. In Luke chapter 24, verse 38, Jesus says, hey guys, why are you troubled? It's that same word used in John 14. And He says, why are there doubts in your heart? But now the redemption process of man was fully completed, and that's where Luke continues his story in the book of Acts. You do understand that the writer of the Gospel of Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And Luke says it like this. In Luke 24:50, Jesus blessed them. And then the Bible said He was taken up into heaven. Can you imagine what that sight would have been like? Wow. Well, it says that the men were, and He took them and came back to a place called Bethany. Bethany. On the east side of the Mount of Olives. Now, the Mount of Olives, some people think is a little mountain. You know? It's a very huge place, and let me show you the side of that mountain right here. If you can look at the top, well, the top is about right over here. But that is Bethany. This is a picture of Bethany right here. But you look back over and see the very, well, I'd say for us, it'd be over somewhere about here would be the top. And this thing is actually longer than the mountain, but taller and bigger. I wanted you to see where these men had gathered now with Jesus and what was about to take place. Because what Jesus is going to do is He's going to give some instructions. He's going to tell these disciples, not just the 11, but a crowd of His followers that were gathered. And He's going to tell them what they must do. And He's doing this just seconds before He ascends back to His Father. And folks, there are four of them. And that's what I want to tell you this morning in these instructions. And as we close this message, I want to talk to you about a ministry that has been provided for us free of charge, Dollar Springs, called TrueLife.org, and how that fits in the instructions that God left this crowd of folks gathered, especially the 11, right before He ascended to His Father. Four things, four instructions. And here's the first one. I'm going to read this scripture as we go through each verse, and you'll understand. The first thing I want you to write down on what Jesus did, Jesus promised His kingdom. Jesus promised His kingdom. I'm in Acts chapter 1, and I'm in verses 6 and 7. And when they had come together, they asked Him, Lord, Are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority. You see, folks, the disciples proved they still lacked understanding about God's plan. Since they believed the Messiah would set up his earthly kingdom on this earth now, and that kingdom would coincide with the coming of the Holy Spirit, then they said, Lord, hey, wait a minute, you're about to leave. Aren't you going to set up your kingdom in Israel at this time? They never understood Jesus, as Isaiah said, the suffering servant. God's kingdom had come on this earth in the form of the Anointed One, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. It had drawn near. And yes, one day that kingdom would be a physical kingdom on this earth when Jesus Christ would return physically to this earth, not the rapture of the church. He would return physically to this church and or to this world and set up a millennial reign on this earth of 1,000 years. And that 1,000 years would follow the 7 years of tribulation, and in particular the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation that follows the rapture. But folks, the time for that physical kingdom was not now. It would be in the future. And so he said to those men, guys, you don't understand. That's not what I came to do. Yes, in the future it would happen, but not at this moment. Jesus Christ was going to set up his kingdom on this earth, and it will happen. The Bible says it's going to happen. And in fact, it will happen in the time that even as the world says, we think not. Christ even promised his apostles they would sit upon thrones. He promised they would receive 100-fold over what they had had. Matthew chapter 19, read that, verses 27 and following. On the day, that day, the first will be last and the last will be first. But today's concern, he says, is for the fact that God's kingdom had come to this earth in the form of Jesus. So what's our concern? That's what Jesus is concerned. He wanted his people to be concerned about service and ministry. He wanted his people to make sure we proclaim the salvation of Christ and in this world. And so Jesus rebuked his disciples. Didn't you understand? Didn't you figure this out? I didn't come to set up this kingdom now, but I am promising the kingdom has come. They needed to know that. They needed to try to get even a greater grasp on the resurrection and what it meant for the entire redemption process of man. Jesus promised his kingdom. Now, folks, again, these folks are standing or sitting, I don't know, but Jesus is standing there or somewhere on the Mount of Olives in the area of Bethany, the place where he said he would leave and the place where he said he would come back to when he comes back to this earth. He promised his kingdom. There's a second thing I want you to write down. Jesus assigned our task. Jesus assigned our task. Acts 1:8. Most of you in this room could quote those verses. I learned that verse, ironically, in Vacation Bible School right here at this church. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And to the ends, or as I learned it in the King James, the uttermost parts of the earth. So what's our task? Our task is to do the Great Commission. But he uses a word here in this verse, in verse 8. He uses a word called martus in the Greek, M-A-R-T-U-S. That's the noun form of matureo. It means witness. It means to be a martyr. It's exactly where we get the word martyr from. And so the task of the believer is to be a witness. Is to be a witness. One who is willing to die for his faith. Now, none of us in this room perhaps have faced that yet, right here on Austell Road. But I believe the day is coming one day when we will face life or death to follow Jesus Christ. But the Lord gives them some incredible news, y'all. I love this. The Lord gives them the news, says, but the power of God The dunamis. We get our word dynamite from that. The explosive power of God. The power of God that exceeds anything you and I could ever attempt to understand. Or that power of God is going to come to you, and it's going to come to you in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God, which was given to man later in the book of Acts and has never left us and is here right now in the very presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let me show you something very critical here. God's very own Spirit would dwell in the heart and the life of the believer. No greater power could you ever possess. And once the early disciples experienced this coming of God's Spirit into their being, they never asked about the Lord's earthly kingdom set up on this earth ever again. They dwelt with sharing the message. You ever see that in Scripture? This is the last time you will see these disciples asking a question. James and John did it right before the Passover meal, which became the Last Supper. And now they're asking it again. Why aren't you setting up your kingdom on Israel? This is the last time the disciples ask those questions, because later they get it. It gets down to their heart, and they realize their number one task is to tell the world what they have just witnessed with Jesus. What's different today? What's different for us? Our churches are, for the most part, in the 21st century in these days, emptier than they have ever been. And I'm not talking about just Southern Baptist churches. What's changed with the Great Commission? Why don't people invite folks to church anymore? Used to be we'd have packed a few Sundays and packed a few nights. We'd have all kind of reasons to get people to come in. We don't do that, not only here, in any church anymore. You don't see that. Gone are the days whereby we open the doors and advertise this and say, y'all come. This world just doesn't do that. Where evangelism is taking place today, number one-on-one with somebody. But even more, folks, I'm 62 years old, either way, somewhere in that neighborhood. But I will tell you this, where it's happening is social media in our world. People are using the internet. People are seeing the Southern Baptist Convention is beginning to change its ministry strategy, doing this as well. TrueLife.org is one of those examples. It was developed at Liberty University by a guy there, a Master of Divinity student. Southern Baptist Convention have partnered together with them. They were at the Southern Baptist Convention last year. True Life will be there this year as well. And it's a wonderful way of beginning, and very without any fear, to asking someone, hey, I just want to invite you to Olive Springs Baptist Church. I just would like for you to come. And if there's a spiritual problem you're experiencing, how to know Christ, who is God, what do Mormons believe, what happens after death, what do Jehovah's Witnesses believe, what about archaeology? And I could go on and on of the videos that are available free of charge in True Life to us, all on one little card on the front and back. And all you do is hand it to someone and say, listen, I sure would like for you to come to Olive Spring. That's all you say. Take you about 30 seconds. Today at lunch, when you're sitting at the restaurant or wherever you go to eat lunch, or it may be your best friend, it may be your children, it may be your grandchildren, I don't know. Hand them a little card and say, listen, won't you come with me next Sunday to Olive Springs? It takes an average of 13 times when you invite someone to come to church without giving them something. When you give them something in their hand, that is directly cut in half. Maybe 5 or 6 times. You may have to ask them again. But they have a little card that has my name, it has Freddie's name on it, it has the church information, and it has truelife.org. And I'll show you that in just a minute on the screens, what it actually looked like. Jesus assigned our task, and he said to those people gathered together, you need to go tell the world about me like never, ever, ever before. And he said, here's what you do. You will be. That's not a suggestion. That's a command in Scripture. You will be the martus, the witness. And it says Jerusalem, Fair Oaks, Judea, Georgia, Samaria, the United States, and even out and out and out to the ends of the earth. So our task is to fulfill what Jesus said for us to do. And that's to tell them about Jesus. The third thing, the third promise, the third thing that happened right here at this moment is Jesus ascended to heaven. Jesus ascended to heaven. Verse 9, and he said this, after he said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took them out of their sight. I love that word in the Greek, epeiro, which means to be taken up. It's not harpazo, rapture, to be snatched away quickly. But it's epeiro, it means to just slowly be taken. It's as though the arms of God reach down and get Jesus and just brings him back home. That's the picture of that word, ascended. It's not a fast going. It's not poof, he's disappeared like he did to Cleopas and his friend. But it's a slow movement up. And then the Bible says he disappeared in the cloud. I directed the Chattanooga Easter pageant for years when we were at Brainerd in Chattanooga. And we staged our ascension scene in our baptistry. It was a little bit bigger than what we have here, but we set it up about halfway, and we put Jesus about where the top of that cross is, and through good old clouds and a fog machine, we were able to make him disappear in the clouds as we moved him up, and he was trussed whereby we could do that. Most amazing thing to watch, just in a drama, just in a pageant experience, was to watch the man who played Jesus, spit an image of any picture of Christ you'd ever seen, and in that cloud you see him, and then by the time he was up at the top, he was completely gone. And we just staged that, and it looked amazing. Can you imagine being there at the Mount of Olives when Jesus was looking like this to those folks, and God himself just reached down and got him, and epeiro took him up to heaven. Wow. You know? It's a promise of the Lord. He said, I will return to my Father, and one day I'm coming back to get you. But I will return to my Father. The verses describe the Lord's ascension. He's coming back. Zechariah 14:4 makes the very statement. The same way that you see him go. Revelation 1:7, look, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, including those who pierced him, and all the families of the earth will mourn over him. This is certain. And then Zechariah 14:4, on that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. Go back and look at Bethany. Bethany is on the east slope of the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives will be split in half from east to west, forming a huge valley so that half the mountain will move to the north and half the mountain will move to the south. Bless God, one day that mountain is going to be cut in complete halves because of the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Wow. I don't know, y'all, but that's enough to excite this old Baptist, let me tell you. Just to see and understand that, and just to visualize the power, the resurrection. The resurrection was enough. Hello. But now it's the ascension. They saw him. They saw him. But then in the fourth place, let me show you. Jesus proclaimed what in the fourth place? He's coming back. Look at verses 10 and 11. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven. I love this word gazing in the Greek language. Have you ever looked at something and you're just spellbound? And you just kind of, whoa. You can't take your eyes off of it? That's what they were. All of them. They were looking. And you know, when you're in a parking lot somewhere or you're in a store, just let somebody look up. And what are you going to do? Every one of you in here. You're going to look up. All these folks were looking up and watching, you know. They were just spellbound. They were gazing, literally, at what happened. And then the Bible says, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them. I love it. Stood by them. The folks down here on this earth. And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here and looking up into heaven? This Jesus who has been taken, epeiro, up to you in heaven will come again just like you've seen him go. He is going to come in the clouds. Let me tell you something, folks. You mark this one in your calendar, put it on your book, not a date. We don't know that or a time, but Jesus is coming soon. Not a suggestion. It's not a possibility. It's a fact. And the Bible says the clouds received him. That word is a picture of a mama receiving her child. My dad used to do that. He would receive me, especially if I'd really messed up. And he forgave me. And what he'd do, he'd come and hug me. And my dad was just a little taller, not much taller than me. But I can remember when he hugged me, he almost cut my breath off. He had such a deep, deep hug that you felt to the bottom of your very bones or the marrow of your very bones. And folks, that's what this word received means. The cloud, God's cloud. You remember God pictured as a cloud in the Old Testament? Does that ring a bell somewhere? You know? I just happen to think God just showed up as I told you. I think he reached down, grabbed the sun, brought him up in the clouds, and these men are sitting there shaking their heads saying, whoa. And God told him these four things. Four incredible, incredible things that they must do. He promised his kingdom. He assigned our task. He ascended to heaven, and he proclaimed he's coming back. But how do we do it, folks? How do we get it all taken care of? Most people in this world today never share their faith. Most Christians in our churches have never once in their life ever led anyone to a personal faith in Jesus Christ. That's tragic. But you know, so many times it's not the fact that we are the ones leading, it's the fact that we've got to be sowing the seed. And folks, it's not our responsibility to save anyone. We can't do that. God does that. But what you and I are to do is to tell the world. And there's so many different ways. The message has never changed. But now in the 21st century, how we share that message, we've got one of the greatest communication tools ever to happen to man at our disposal in being able to share Christ. To be able to use the internet. I know some are not on the internet or don't do anything with social media or anything like that. Folks, that doesn't matter here. You can be sitting in a restaurant. And you pull out one of these little cards. It has our logo on one side of it and our address and our church. And then you go to a website simply called truelife.org. It looks just like is on your screen. And this is what's on the back of the card as well. When you go to that website, and James, do I have the video next or the website? Slide. Do the next slide right there. I started to show you this on the internet, but I don't have time. These cards look like this. We've had two cards made, and we've got, you can use these as business cards. We've got enough of them for every one of them in here to have as many of these as you want to use. There's the backside. There's the youth card right there. It's a little different from ours. It has the youth logo on it. Still has the True Life on the back of it, exactly where it is. And here's what you do. You take either our church card, or our young people have committed to do this with their folks and the kids all around. You take one of these cards wherever you are. And you remember a few years ago, we printed about 500 of these little cards. And I said, well, let's invite people to church. And you started inviting people to church. And folks, what you're doing is sowing the seed. Because you're saying, I'd love for you to come to Olive Springs. Because in doing so, all you need to do is, if you look on the back of this, thetruelife.org, and if you've got questions about life in general, would you just look at that? There are a bunch of videos there. You can look at it in the privacy of your own home, and it'll just help. Would you mind? And folks, what you've done is you've given away the gospel to someone. There's a video on here on how to come to Christ. Very good. Dr. Danny Aiken has an incredible video. Danny's president of Southeastern Seminary, a dear friend of mine. One on death alone. One on archaeology. One on abortion. Let me just show you. Let's not do the video, James. Let's go right to the slide. Okay? I believe I've got that next, just for the sake of time. Because that's what you have to do. Here's the website. I want you to look at it with me. When you go to truelife.org or anybody you give these cards to, it'll look like this. Answers to partnership. Answers to life hard question. That's what's on the back of the card. But then, one thing I want to show you here is this. There's a little thing up here. Well, let me show you the videos. Go to the next slide, James. Well, I'll take that back. When you go to the home Bibles, we set this up a little different. We wanted to do it live, but it's just right now impossible to do. You back it up one slide, James. Let me show that one. Oh, that's close. Leave it right there for a minute. Here are some of the videos. Is Mormonism true? What happens when I die? Is Jesus unique? What is true life? Does being good get you to heaven? Is there a God? Those who've never heard of Jesus. Why does God allow abuse? And they're over and over. These are about 10 minutes apiece. They're not long for people to listen. But it's the gospel, folks. It is the gospel. Sanctioned by our convention big time because so many of our people with the Southern Baptist Convention have done these videos along with Thomas Road Baptist Church and Liberty University as well. Okay, James, go. Right here at the top of this is a thing called Church Finder. Here's what is so exciting. If you click on this title right here, that little word right there that says Church Finder, you click on that, here's what you'll see. Go back, there you go. You'll go to a map, and it shows the map around Atlanta because you will have put in the zip code of our church. And right here, you will see the churches in our area that are right now participating in True Life. Number one is Green Acres Baptist Church, Macklin Baptist Church, Ewing Road Baptist Church in Austell. And at the top of that list happens to be Olive Springs Baptist Church. And then if you click right here, that little thing that says View Profile. James, click there. Show the next slide, would you? And you'll go to a page that looks like this. There's old Keith. Amazing. Jimmy and George, the choir, and some little guy in the middle right there. Right here is a link to our website they can go to. If you click on Send Message, that comes to me and our church office as well. True Life would like to recommend this church to you. We know that they are excited to meet you and ready to be your friend. True Life would be happy to introduce you. You click on that, you automatically send a message. Now let me go down. The next slide there, James. And when you go down, it says what to expect. We've done this page. Our facilities, our service times. Who's our pastor? What to expect when you get here. And then there are specific groups of our people and pictures that you can see. A very capsule version of Olive Springs. All because you took 30 seconds and gave him a card and said, listen, love to have you to come to Olive Springs. And when you would you look at the back of this, to truelife.org? And when you do, you'll find some answers to life's hard questions. And that's all you say. Would you take that challenge with me if I said this to you, which I will? Would you be willing to give out just 5 of these cards this week? Just give out 5. You can give them out to your best friend. Not all at once. But you can give them out to those at the cash register, at the bank, wherever you go. You'll know God's going to give you. Have them in your pocket. And you know my dad used to say, such and such would burn a hole in my pocket. We talked about that, about our allowance. These will burn a hole in your front pocket because God will say, now, give them the card. Give them the card. Would you do that? And folks, I pray that God will lead them here and they would come. But you know even more? You may just see somebody come to Christ because they were so afraid to talk about it to anybody, but yet they look at the short little video, and wow, things change. I've seen it happen. Next week, I want to show you a brief video of testimonies of how people have done this. And I would like to hear some of your testimonies next week in worship where you've given out these cards. We're going to do that as part of the message next week because I'm going to hold you accountable. Our staff is going to be giving out a whole lot more than 5. I use them as my card now wherever I go, and I hope you can do and we'll do the same. There are a bunch of them right here to my left. There are the youth cards right here. And as we leave the worship service in just a minute, our commitment is to take whatever you need. When you run out, you need more, come by the office. They're right here in the office. You can take whatever you need. And like I said, this was provided to us as a ministry free of charge. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's just another way we can reach out. You don't have to have the internet. You don't have to be internet savvy. All you got to do is be able to talk and say, listen, I love Olive Springs. I'd just like you to come. Would you take this card? Some will refuse it, folks. That's the way this old world is. But thank God we have a way, just a very uninhibited way of being able to share Christ. And I believe God has put that in our hands. To be mail them to someone if you want to, however you want to do it. But would you take that challenge with me? God gave us those 4 things to say. And all 4 of those things are included right here in this little card. of what God's told us to do. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the power of your word. And Father, you just called us to be farmers in your kingdom. We are to be seed sowers. So Lord, we just go plow the field today, this week. We just go deliver cards. And Father, excite people. And I know, Lord, there'll be those times where people say, no, I don't want it. But then, Lord, there'll be that one person out of however many that's searching, that thanks God that somebody cared enough to drop off just a little card that would give them a website like this. Thank you, Father, for a church that's always found ways to minister, always found ways to reach out. Your will be done. And I thank you for it. I thank you for those who created TrueLife.org. And I pray, Father, that as these cards are not only given out by us, but so many hundreds of churches throughout the United States, that these little cards will be a catalyst of salvation, a catalyst of renewal and dedication to so many. So, Father, your will be done. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And amen. I want to show you a scripture. You remember that Acts 1:8 that we did a minute ago? I want to show you the cheap translation of that scripture. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Marietta, in all of Georgia, the United States of America, and throughout the world. And that, my friend, has never changed. Would you stand? A little song is called The Savior is Waiting. This morning, as you leave in just a minute when we dismiss to go to Sunday school, I hope you'll come by here and pick up as many of these cards as you want and use. And you take that challenge and just give out five or one. Just give them out this week as God would lead you. Keith, lead us as we sing together.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time, he has waited.